Talk on the most listened to sports talk show for your ride home.
Yes, sir.
Time for the Falcons Report.
Back! Big Beasley slams it through the gut to touchdown Atlanta. Julio, touchdown! Oh, my goodness.
The 5 o'clock Falcons Report on Dukes and Bell.
We are Dukes and Bell, brought to you and driven by Kia. For more info, visit KiaDealers.com. We start off every day and every hour by saying,
Hey, man.
Get you some Hey, Man L for the weekend, guys, and get ready for Atlanta United and MLS Cup. Coming up, we'll hear from Matt Ryan, first and 10 with Dave Archer and Matt Ryan. Each and every Thursday. So you'll hear what our quarterback had to say about this upcoming matchup with Green Bay. And also, Alexi Lawless, as we mentioned, on the way in about 35 minutes to talk to us about Atlanta United and much more. So stay tuned for that. If you missed Arthur Blank earlier in the show, Mike, we'll replay that for you around 6:20.
That's right, you idiots. You better listen. So anyway, make sure you check it out, man.
All right, guys. Here's the deal with the Falcons, and I know some
right,
guys.
Lay it down. Look where you change your voice.
Well, some guys.
Lay it down, man. Give it to me straight.
Some guys are overreacting because I think, you know, we've been talking about all this stuff about resting guys. And let me be clear. Nobody wants to sit, okay? Nobody doesn't want to play. These guys enjoy football. They want to play. They want to earn a check, okay? So the idea that somebody is, oh, well, this is the start of resting him. Julio didn't practice today, and we're already getting. Well, guys, Julio hadn't practiced for a majority of the season, yeah. And you wouldn't even know it.
This is what a veteran, and especially a coach who knows how his veteran deals with aches and pains and wear and tear, you don't put him through the grind over the course of the regular season. That's why, you know, you and I were saying, well, let's try to get him some work in the mini camp so at least he's in a rhythm through the OTAs for the preseason. But that's not a big deal. It's a non-story. And by the way, our good friend Vaughn McClure from ESPN.com, he's the one who put it out there in a blog saying, you know, hey, if you can't protect Matt Ryan – And your offensive line is that bad, why don't you just sit him for the final games because nothing matters? And obviously Dan Quinn poo-pooed that, and the team didn't like that question, but it was out there. But that's not a thing. It's just it's a guy throwing an idea out there. But, Carl, when it gets back to this offensive line, as the Falcon Report is brought to you by Domino's, they get some great deals on your favorite three-topping pizzas, including those medium deep dish, those pan pizzas from your buddies at Domino's. Go to Domino's.com. Looks like they're going to roll Sombrello out at right guard because Schrader was out for a non-injury-related matter. Sombrello practiced yesterday with the first team. I don't know if this means he will go, but there they are. And Dan Quinn did talk about on Monday the idea of kind of maybe shaking things up even further on the O-line.
This doesn't surprise us. It shouldn't surprise you. I think there is a experimental period that's going to be going on here over the next few weeks. Part of it is you want to see who can play and who you might want to keep. The other part of it is I do think that, you know, the idea you have some of these offensive linemen, Mike, that you really don't have a feel for as to what they can and can't do. I know you've been asking this and talking about it, and again, Coach Quinn, we'll talk to him when the season's completely done, and we've got a few weeks before that's over. But the whole idea of scrapping the zone blocking scheme, right? And, you know, when we say scrap it, we're talking about basically when you go zone blocking scheme, you're looking for specific linemen. The thing about the zone blocking scheme is you need guys that can get to the second level, okay? So I initiate contact with my defensive lineman or whoever's in front of me, and then I'm getting off of him and I'm getting to the linebacker, which creates these seams and these cutback areas for the running back. When you power football, Mike, when you run power football or you just, you know, you're big up front and you're just going to use your mass to get in the way of guys, it's a different kind of run game.
But it's the kind of stuff, and again, we had a different type of team back then. And don't get it twisted. We took the zone blocking scheme all the way to the Super Bowl, and we should have won it. You know that. But now we don't have the guys. And I think my opinion is this team, because we run the zone blocking scheme, is the mindset is we can just throw any journeyman average guy out there, and you can't. And we're seeing that. We saw it last year. You're seeing it again this year at times. And now we're at the point where we've got guys like Sombrello, who the Broncos cut bait on, is going to get plugged in. So the idea of the power run scheme, Carl, that you just talked about. Okay, you got that guy, you got that guy. Or if you're going to pull a tackle, he'll go out and take out a linebacker on certain plays, or a guard, I should say. The guard's going to pull. But here's the deal. When we had Tyson Klebo and Harvey Dahl and Todd McClure, these guys weren't Pro Bowl guys, but they were physical and nasty. And Michael Turner with Ovi Mahaley. So it's not just about the run game. We need to get a powerful running back if Free can't go, and certainly Coleman's not really equipped to do that style.
All right, now let me ask you this, and it doesn't dismiss that we still need to revamp the O-line. I do believe that to be true. But if Free was healthy, how much better would our running game be?
I think he was,
even in this scheme.
Don't you think he covers up a few warts and blemishes on this line a little bit?
I do.
He can fall forward for a couple yards.
I think that, you know, I don't know, again, if he's a 1,000-yard rusher again, but I would be willing to tell you that a good running back does cover up some of the miscues by the O-line. But I don't know if that's what they're going to do. We don't know if that's what they're going to do. So all those decisions will be determined in the offseason. What we do know is there's going to be some movement across that offensive line. It is Dukes and Bell. It's our Falcon Report. Let's hear from Dan Quinn. A couple of things. Grady Jarrett, if you've not heard, one of the nominees, guys, for the Walter Payton Award, Mike. And, you know, it's a prestigious award, certainly given out every year by the NFL. Every team nominates one guy on their team. Grady was the guy for the Falcons.
Yep, the Walter Payton Man of the Year Award. And, by the way, sometimes you'll see players that have that little gold Walter Payton with the old, remember the old coat they wear on the sideline of the Broncos, the overcoat? You see that on the jersey if you are a Walter Payton Man of the Year Award recipient. Grady does so many good things in the community. We talk about that all the time with him, his mom, the family as well.
Here's Dan Quinn talking about Julio's status, guys. Again, he did not practice today.
He won't practice fully. I may do some individual work. So his foot was still sore, and so we just wanted to make sure he could be fully, full speed as we're heading into tomorrow's practice. So he'll get some work today, but nothing at a full speed clip.
And I do expect Julio to be ready to play on Sunday in Green Bay. As far as Aaron Rodgers, Dan Quinn had this to say about the quarterback that the Falcons will face on Sunday.
I think the challenging part is the speed and bounce out ability. So he's got the speed to get to the edge, whether it's a toss play where he can get outside, and then he's got the ability to put his foot in the ground and cut back. So those are some of the things that jump out to me when I watch the tape.
That's Aaron Jones that coach was talking about, not Aaron Rodgers. Obviously, Aaron Rodgers can't get outside and create problems outside the pocket as well and create that extra time that he may need to deliver the ball down the field.
But when they moved on from Ty Montgomery for the debacle in the Rams game about return, don't return, and Aaron Jones, a guy that I think a lot of people picked up as a fantasy player, and then they finally started to use him, and he said, okay, finally, McCarthy and these guys getting the running game on track, and then they haven't been able to sustain it.
All right, what does Matt Ryan think about this matchup, guys? It's first and 10. We do it each and every week. We get a chance to hear from our quarterback on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
It's about our brotherhood, man, how tight we can get.
This is the first and 10 with Dave Archer and Matt Ryan on the home for our Atlanta Falcons, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Matt, traveled to Green Bay, a place you've been before. The first thing off, I think the first thing a fan will think about is it could be cold, it's going to be nasty. How does that affect a quarterback?
I mean, unless it's really, really windy, I grew up playing in cold conditions and wet and all those kind of things. So I always feel pretty comfortable no matter what the playing conditions are. And I don't think the wind's supposed to be, too crazy. So it shouldn't affect us all that much. If anything, it might slow the field down a little bit. So that's probably the only thing it would affect.
It's never fun to go through what you guys have gone through over the last 4 weeks. Obviously, you want to win football games. That's why you practice all the time. You spend all the time in the offseason getting ready to play. That being said, from a leadership standpoint, what do you have to keep reiterating, or do you have to? This is a pretty good team for this kind of stuff. How do you keep reiterating, hey, we're still here in the fight?
Yeah, the messaging has been consistent since day one of Dan being here, is that every time, we step onto the practice field or we're in a meeting, it is championship-level preparation, regardless of the opponent and the situation. And I think we just continue that messaging, but it is not an issue. I mean, we've got a really good locker room and really good professional guys that have the right mindset and approach day in and day out, and we're going to continue to do that. And that's how you turn things around. That's how you get things going in the right direction, and I firmly believe that we will.
I think that anybody who's watched your career over the 11 years has been fascinated by how good you guys are when you go up-tempo, especially when you're kind of running the show and doing what you're doing. Now, I know you're getting some calls. Things are happening in your headset. I think the fan, I keep getting hit with the fan, they want to see Matt Ryan in no huddle. They want to see up-tempo. Talk a little bit about that can be effective, but also can limit what you can get to.
Yeah, sure. I mean, it definitely limits the amount of formations, the amount of different spots you can put guys. And it's, it limits what the defense can do, too, which is a positive. But when you have guys like Julio Jones, that defenses, if you keep him at the same spot, can kind of tee off on how they want to play him and take certain parts of the field away. That's one of the downsides to it. And we like to move Julio all over and get him in different spots to keep a defense off balance. And huddling sometimes is a good way to do that. Quite frankly, we had a lot of tempo in our Baltimore game plan and did a really nice job with the first drive of the game. But we weren't able to extend drives the way we wanted to later in the game, which limits, you know, your ability to get into some of those sets. So it's a catch-22. There's times where it's really good for us, and there's other times where, you know, we want to move guys around.
Yeah, I think it's the fan forgets that you got to get first downs, actually get in some tempo. And you guys had a tough time kind of extending drives, as you just talked about. Okay, here comes Green Bay. This is a team that has a lot of veteran players on it. They've got some newer, younger players. What do you see when you see Green Bay on tape?
Well, for me, it's a little bit different. You know, having played Green Bay my entire career, Dom Capers was the defensive coordinator up there. So there were, you know, always a lot of things that, you know, even if you hadn't been watching them much, you knew kind of what you were going to get. They're certainly different this year with Mike Pettine as their defensive coordinator. The looks, the pressure packages are all different than historically what we've seen from this team. There's a lot of similar personnel. There's some new guys in the back end, which are different than what we play. But I see a team that's played a lot of different people, and a lot like our defense have had injuries and different guys stepping up at different times to play different positions, and, you know, has led to some inconsistency. But they certainly have a lot of different looks and some talented players that can make plays.
I know in my time playing that if you had a problem handling something, the next team was going to check to see if you got it fixed. Is that still hold true, and do you anticipate seeing some of the things you saw against Baltimore with his guys?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I would anticipate seeing some of the things. Mike Pettine is of that similar type mindset of places that he's been, whether it's with the New York Jets or the Cleveland Browns. He's got a really good 3-4 scheme package with a lot of different pressure looks from it, which is very much like what Baltimore does. They kind of can blitz you from all different angles. So we certainly have to correct it, and we have to do better than we did last week in anticipation that we might see that as we move forward.
Give the fan a key that you'll know, hey, things are starting to go the way you want them to on offense this week.
Well, I think getting into drives, getting those first down. I always talk about with our guys, get that first down so we can get into a rhythm, extend the drive, use tempo if we want to, but also just start to wear a defense out. I think if we're converting first downs on first and second down, that's going to be really important for us. We don't always have to get to third down and convert there. We can be explosive on first and second down. So I think if we play well and stay in front of the chains, we're going to be just fine.
All right, man. Go have some fun.
All right. Thanks, Arch.
That is our own Dave Archer with Matt Ryan getting the 411 on the quarterback as far as what he thinks about the Packers. Mike, we talk about Aaron Rodgers all the time. Matt has had a really good season, guys. 70% completion rate, 3,800 yards, 25 touchdowns, 5 picks, and a 109 quarterback rating for our own Matt Ryan. But the record doesn't speak to it.
Well, plus the fact that he did a lot of that, guys, in a one-dimensional offense. You know, we've harped on it. We say it all the time. And then it really now it's come back to bite us. The Ravens took away whatever semblance of a run game we had, and then the guys weren't helping him out with catches. So there's only so many games. Go back and look at how many times Matt had 350 and 2 or 3 touchdowns, no picks. And when you go back and you say, wow, we ran the ball like, what, 15, 16 times? Other than, you know, Matt scrambling?
At least.
So that's part of it. I mean, you've got to – that's why we started the segment talking about the offensive line, and I don't know if they changed the approach. But, boy, I think so. I don't think you and I are the only Falcon fans who'd love to see us, you know, scrap the zone blocking scheme for once and for all.
We will talk more about that as we move along, guys. The Packer game itself, you know, again, going to Lambeau, and we know a lot of fans have reached out to us, Mike, and said, hey, we're making the trip. You know, despite the record, we had this plan. You're going to have a great time. It's a once-in-a-lifetime experience.
And some folks out there, it's pretty cool. They have these houses which abut the parking lot right outside Lambeau, where they've turned them into these own little party zones. Our buddy Greg Hughes, who used to work at Turner Sports, actually has one with fire pits and TV screens. So hopefully you befriend those people, because it really is a scene before you walk into Lambeau.
All right, man, coming up, we will get to our big story. We'll revisit our Heisman conversation for those who are just getting in the car. It is an interesting conversation because Saturday they're going to hand that trophy, but who's going to get it? PM Don? Is this PM Don? I'm just wondering.
Set Adrift on Memory Bliss or something like that? What was it called?
Paid in Full.
Oh, this is Eric B. and Rock.
Yeah. Oh, yes. Okay. All right. Have me twisted for a minute.
Yeah, but it has the same intro, though. You're right. Yes, it does.
It has that same intro. It is Dukes and Bell. It's what we do. Hey, man, coming up, we're going to talk to Alexi Lawless coming up in about 20 minutes. And, Mike, you said you wanted to talk with him not only about Atlanta United but our national team. We've talked about this a lot. We've even asked some of the soccer heads we know about, you know, what needed to be done. Here's the uniqueness, guys, and we're just going to fast forward, okay? Just fast forward 3 years from now and where soccer will be in America, right? MLS continues to expand. We know Miami's getting a squad. I think the game is expanding, the awareness.
Right.
And on top of that, you know, this is going to be a new crop of players We've seen this particular group that's been with, you know, the U.S. men's team, Mike, for probably the last 8 to 10 years. This next group is going to be, I think, a different group with a different coach, obviously, and maybe even a different philosophy from what we understand, which is, you know, an attacking style, which is kind of what we do with our Atlanta United. I think for the first time, maybe in the U.S.'s history, we may see a buzz we haven't seen with U.S. men's soccer.
I mean, it's style makes the fight. I mean, we talk about it all the time. It's kind of like, you know, we talked last hour about, like, Georgia Tech, and there will always be people that are diehards that love, you know, the job that Coach Johnson did. But people want to see, you know, run-pass option. They want to see, you know, they want to see the vertical passing game. They want to see some action, you know. And with our team, you know, you want to see – that's why it was such an easy sell for us with United. Because how many guys would go like, soccer, what's that, like 1-0? No, our guys are scoring a lot of goals. There's action.
It's nonstop, you know, action. You know,
and
though,
sometimes there is a technical aspect where that is the way the game is going to play. But, yeah, man, we've got a fun attacking style where these guys make things happen. But now we combine that with some really great guys playing defense on the other side, as we talked about with Brad Guzan earlier.
Yeah, I think the uniqueness, too, there's a young man named Christian Pulisic, who is the number two player now, or the second best player in the world under 21 years of age, and he's an American. And, yeah, he's playing overseas now, but we're talking about big picture and playing for your country. I think that is a building block that we necessarily haven't had in a very long time. So we'll see where it goes, man, but we'll talk to Lawless about it when he joins us here in about 20 minutes. Right now, though, let's get to the big story.
Guess what time it is?
Now, it's time for the big story.
Listen to this.
On Dukes and Bell.
Who's going to win this award, Mike Bell? Who's going to be the Heisman Trophy winner?
Well, we got a poll question up today. Follow us, by the way, at Dukes and Bell 929. Carl's put them up. See Dukes and at Mike Bell ATL. I got a poll question for you about who you think should win the Heisman. Right now, 48% of our audience says it should be Tua Tagovailoa. 46% say Kyler Murray. And no love for the Buckeyes. Only 6% for a man with 51 touchdowns. Dwayne Haskins, you and I were making the case for both Tua and Kyler, and know that Chuck Smith hit us up earlier saying, look, man, Tua's playing on one of the greatest Bama teams of all time.
Yeah, I just think, and, you know, we always play this game, right? Well, if you took this guy off of this team, how good would the team be? Well, if you took Tua off of Alabama right now, they'd have a kid named Jalen Hurts who'd be starting. And we act like Jalen's not a winner, like he didn't do anything. You know, the guy won 26 games, went 26-2 or whatever it was before he got pulled in the championship game last year, and then you just saw what he did in the SEC championship. So I just think the surrounding cast, to what you were saying about Chuck Smith hitting us up, at Alabama would still have Alabama in this spot. I mean, that's why I am not as prone to say that about Kyler Murray or Haskins, the kid at Ohio State.
Look, and I wasn't trying to get the Bama, why you hate Bama so much? Trying to get the Bama people riled up, because you can make the case for all three of these guys to have a 37-touchdown, 4-pick a year is just bananas. Some guys said, well, heck, Tua doesn't even get to put even more numbers up because half this season he was sitting on the bench by the fourth quarter, which is true, but it also makes the argument for a guy like Kyler Murray who's got to play 60 minutes if Oklahoma has a chance to win. You take Kyler Murray off the Sooners and they're going to the Alamo Bowl.
Yeah, I think that's part of the argument for a lot of voters will be, if you took Kyler Murray off of Oklahoma, what would it be? You can let us know what you think, man. 404-741-0929. And Dwayne Haskins, listen, don't hold the fact that he plays at Ohio State against him. Kid's been really good this year. And when you talk about throwing for over 4,500 yards and accounting for over 51 touchdowns, that's an impressive season. The deal with Haskins is, Mike, he's not a running quarterback. He only has rushed for 122 yards all season.
Right.
He is a guy that wants to throw the ball down the field, deliver it vertically, and he's done a really good job for Ohio State. Now, they'll be in the Rose Bowl, but as far as the Heisman is concerned, I think back to the Maryland game, and I watched that game from start to finish pretty much because, you know, I was curious to see what Ohio State was going to do, and that was a game that went into the various overtimes. Haskins kept them in the game. I mean, it was one of those games where if he doesn't make plays, Ohio State loses.
No, Ohio State, you know, the benchmark for the Buckeyes is always great defense and running game, and they didn't have either for all season and long stretches until they got it together from the Michigan game. So you're right about that. Haskins with all the touchdowns, 47. Kyler Murray with 40 and 7 picks. Tua, as we said, fantastic ratio with 37-4. But here's if this is going to split hairs. They average 11.4 yards throwing a ball for Tua, 11.9 for Kyler. The argument we were making earlier is these are the only three guys that should be in New York. You got a running back from Wisconsin.
That's right.
You know, you've got defensive players out there. But it's just the nature of how the Heisman is become all about the quarterbacks these days. So, look, no disrespect. I think whoever wins, I think it is going to be Tua. I just think that Kyler Murray deserves a tie.
You think Tua will win it?
I think Tua's going to get it. And that's the other thing. The best player on the best team. How often does that happen?
I asked this earlier. I said, is it the best player in college football? Is it the most outstanding player in college football? You know, year in and year out, we debate this and we go back and forth on how this award is viewed and how it's stated. Like, you know, when you tell me it's the best player in college football, well, that should include some other guys in this mix.
Right.
The most outstanding player, again, I think you're saying the same things. It's just semantics. Either way, all three of these kids will be in New York for the announcement, and a lot of folks think it's going to be Tua Tagovailoa.
And you get the College Football Awards show, which airs tonight, right? Because today is Thursday, 7 p.m., yeah. With Tua and everybody else in the house here at the College Football Hall of Fame. Maxwell, the O'Brien, the Outland, Lombardi, all the other awards for all the different positions.
Now, if you were going to say the most outstanding player, now here's the problem. A guy like Ed Oliver at Houston, you know, he decided not to play. But anybody who's scouting these guys would tell you Ed Oliver is a top five pick. He could easily be considered the best player in college football. You know, Bryce Love, Mike at Stanford, the running back. I mean, all these guys that we're just kind of dismissing, I don't know. I don't know if it's just that easy to say, you know, Tua, best team, Alabama undefeated. He didn't play a lot of the fourth quarter, and therefore his numbers would have been better. Therefore, he gets the award.
So if you're not feeling NFL's Thursday night action, the Home Depot College Football Awards start at 7 on the Four Letter Network here in Atlanta.
All right, man, 404-741-0929. We tell you all the time. Find us on social media as well. It is 929 The Game. Mike Bell, ATL, that's his Twitter address. I'm at Put 'Em Up. See Dukes in this radio show, Dukes and Bell 929. As we started the day today, guys, and we started talking about, you know, the Falcons and – specifically, we were talking about, you know, guys and how to approach these last four games. The one thing I think we can all be pretty agree on, all of us can agree on, should I say, and that is, Mike, you know, when you talk about the O-line, it needs to be revamped. The other thing is, I want to bring this up because Von McClure had an article, I think it was yesterday, when we were up there, and I think it came out today talking about Vic Beasley. And Vic saying, you know, that he was going to work through these things, or maybe it was D. Led we had on yesterday, but he was working through these things because D. asked him about the trade rumors and all of that. And I just think there's a census right now for most Falcon fans that if you look at Vic Beasley's numbers, okay, that they're not what you expected, and the production is not what you expected. And with that, is that alone, over these next four games, is he going to be able to do enough to say, you know what, he deserves to be given a long-term extension?
No. I mean, and the consensus around the NFL, there was a blog today or yesterday on ESPN.com where they went and said, what is the best and worst thing about every team in the NFL? Our pass rush is non-existent. Dan Quinn was asked about it at the press conference. He said one word, terrible. So, I mean, even if it gave me four sacks here in the final four games, I've seen enough.
Wouldn't be enough.
No, I mean, everybody knows what we should have had Todd Gurley. You know, we all said, and like, hand goes up, because I thought that Vic Beasley coming out of Clemson with 40 sacks, with all those tackles for loss, part of a great defensive line, I thought he was going to be a beast here. And unfortunately, it just wasn't the case. You know, I mean, it didn't pan out for whatever reason. The giant year of 2016 was an aberration. That was the exception to the rule.
Just looking at the numbers, $12.8 million. That's the fifth-year option.
That's if they pick it up, which they don't have to do.
No, they do not. Beasley has what? 1, 2, 3 sacks. 2 sack performance against Dallas.
I mean, great that he had the
touchdown against Baltimore.
Grady gets the creates the fumble and Vic takes it to the house, and it was a hell of a play. But and it's not about it's never personal because the guys it's business. Vic is a really good dude, but he's just not getting the job done. We drafted you with a top 10 pick. You're supposed to be the defensive end that's going to be here for 10 years, and that's not even close.
Beasley, to put it in perspective, guys, 8.5 sacks in 28 regular season games since 2016. That's the 2016 season ended. That's just not enough. That's why we're talking about it. Hey, man, coming up, he's one of the most recognizable faces when it comes to soccer. You watch him on Fox Sports as well. He's got a podcast and a whole lot of stuff going on, and he's here in the ATL for MLS Cup. He'll join us next.
Josie Altidore, is this really as good as it gets? Because it's still not good enough. To all the guys that I didn't mention it, because you don't even warrant to mention. And that includes you too, Wonder Boy. So, what are you guys going to do? Are you going to continue to be a bunch of soft, underperforming, tattooed millionaires? You are a soccer generation that has been given everything. So, now it's time to pay it back. Make us believe again.
Could have said it better
awesome.
Ourselves, guys. It is Dukes and Bell, and joining us in studio, the man right there you just heard, Alexi Lawless, 94 World Cup member, guys. You know He is a recognizable face, personality, Mike. He does television. He does radio. Wow. He also does a podcast. By the way, congrats on the podcast. I really
thank
dig
you.
It.
Thank you. State of the Union podcast. It's out there. Yeah, it's not as grumpy as the old man that you heard there ranting and raving right there, but. one of my interesting days, to say the least.
Well, it's after we lost to Trinidad and Tobago.
It was
Tobago.
Before. It was before. I was preempting, and I was saying, please don't do it. They didn't listen to me.
We're going to talk a lot about United, but I just want to, we got you here, because we got a new American coach, by the way. Berhalter gets the gig. And I know you did we talked about it, 2 weeks ago, about your podcast, where you're like, come on, pick a coach. In a nutshell, what has been the dysfunction with American soccer?
What's been the dysfunction? I think often we try to be everything to everyone. And, you know, our incredible diversity that makes what I think the United States the greatest country in the world also provides challenges in that diversity is diversity of thought. Everybody thinks about the game differently. What is good soccer? What isn't good soccer? I ask everybody in this room, everybody's going to have a different idea. So when you try to put 11 players on the field that represent this country of 300 million, it's difficult to put everybody together because I believe we'll try to be everything to everybody.
Right.
We just got to say this is what we're going to be. And if you do that, recognize that it's not going to be inclusive. At times, it's going to be exclusive. So it's a longer conversation, but I think that's part of the reason right now. But look, Greg Berhalter, new national team coach, not sexy, not a sexy name. You don't think Greg Berhalter and think sex? Absolutely not. He is. In that sense, he's like the anti-Jurgen Klinsmann. Right. Not a whole lot of name cachet or anything like that. But you know what? Maybe he's not the guy that everybody wants, but maybe it's the guy we need right now to pull us out of this incredible darkness when it comes to the U.S. men's national team.
It's a great point. Alexi Lawless joining us, guys, here on Dukes and Bell. How taken back are you from what you've seen about our own Atlanta United this season?
All right, so we have this game Saturday night on Big Fox, Homer Simpson Fox. If you watch it, you will hear me say the exact same thing that I'm about to say. So this here's a little preview here, only for your listeners here. When I think about Atlanta United right now, they are the MLS super club. And when I say super club, I mean the club that as many people hate as love, but also the club that is put up there where everybody else is judged against. And how have they done that? Obviously, they've been successful. They've been incredibly popular. They have made money. They have spent money. And most importantly, they have become relevant, not just relevant in this market, but relevant to everybody else domestically. Mm-hmm. And guess what? There is a global relevance right now. It's not the Los Angeles Galaxy. It's not Seattle. It's not New York Red Bulls or NYC or Toronto or anybody else. It is Atlanta United. And this community deserves a tremendous amount of credit because everybody is focused on it. And guess what? You're hosting a final this Saturday. You want to keep that super club tag? You better win it because you are a better team. I know it. You know it. The team knows it. Hell, even Portland knows it. But you got to bring it, and you got to put that cherry on top on Saturday night.
He drops the mic, and he walks out of the studio.
You heard the man. You heard the man.
It's great to have Alexi Lawless here live. Over nearly 100 caps for the U.S. men's national team, and he'll be part of the Fox broadcast coming up. The style of play, and do more teams need to embrace this, Alexi? Because this is a fun style to watch to get the casual fan involved.
Okay, well, let's hold on. Slow your roll now, Atlanta, okay? Because, as I said, you spent money, and God bless Arthur Blank for spending money, because it's not just good for Atlanta. It puts pressure on other owners to say, hey, you got to spend some money. You got to keep up. When you spend money, you hedge your bets, and they did a really, really good job of identifying some really good talent. And in 2 short years, including Almiron, who I think is just worth the price of admission, no matter where he's playing. But he gets that ball, and that man, I think, is faster with the ball than without the ball. And it's pretty amazing to watch him go. When it comes to style of play, it's easier to be to talk about a style of play, easier to be more attacking when you have a guy like Almiron and obviously a guy like Jose Martinez who puts the ball in the back of the net. But it's not all about just 100 miles an hour forward. They have been very, very smart in the way that they have balanced this with incredible foreign talent, but also great domestic talent. It's just it's all come together right now, and it's all you guys are great, man. You guys are great. But but I said as just as many people hate you guys as love you guys. That's good. That's a good thing. There's going to come a time where it's not going well on the field. And I'm interested to see what this community, what this soccer community is like when the team is not good, when the team is not winning. But you know what? You don't have to think about that right now because you guys are good and you're hosting the MLS Cup this Saturday night.
We are in the Cup. It's Alexi Lawless joining us here in studio, guys. But let's talk about a couple of guys like Michael Parkhurst.
Mm-hmm.
Been around. I think this is his fifth MLS Cup. You know, here's a veteran guy. I think about guys like Darlington Nagbe, who played on this Portland team a couple of years ago, and now he's with us. And the things that he's able to do and how he's able to slow the game down for us. I mean, there are some influential guys on this team, and I know a lot of the strikers, obviously Joseph and these guys, get all the credit. But the makeup of this team and what they've done, I think, also plays to our success.
All right, so let's take three examples, right? You mentioned Michael Parkhurst. Michael Parkhurst grew up watching me. He grew up in Boston. He told me that once, and I told him, just go sit in the corner. Don't talk to me again. And he's an old guy now in the league. But with that old guy, you get a great mentality. You get a solid, not just a solid player, but a solid person who's been there before. I would love to see. Look, I don't have a a horse in this, but I would love to see Michael Parkhurst, who has lost finals, lost MLS Cups, and he would be a long list of players that have left the New England Revolution. He played for the New England Revolution many years ago, left the New England Revolution, and then won an MLS Cup, including the guy you're looking at who left the New England Revolution and also won an MLS Cup. So I think he's huge. Darlington Nagbe, for me, long an enigma in U.S. soccer, but I'm telling you, if I have a soccer team, he is playing there, because this is a guy, you give him the ball, and it doesn't matter how many people are around, doesn't matter what kind of pressure is on, he will not lose it. Sometimes he'll give up the opportunity to go forward. Sometimes he will frustrate you, but ultimately, this is a guy that you want on your field, and particular for Atlanta, I think he has worked out great, because is that outlet, and then he gives it to the guys that then can go forward, and that's what they want to do. And then Brad Guzan in goal. For me, this guy is very, very important. Is he the best goalkeeper in the world? No. But he is a solid goalkeeper, a good leader, someone that if I'm playing in front of, behind me, I know that he's going to save my ass at a certain point. And that's what you want a goalkeeper to do. All the goalkeepers have to save the easy shots, all right? It's that one shot that's going to keep you in the game. And there will be a moment on Saturday night in this MLS Cup final when Brad Guzan is going to be called upon to make a big save.
It is Alexi Lalas, a veritable firebrand here in studio with us as we get ready for the MLS Cup. And let's talk about those dudes from Portland. Everybody saw the Blanco goal. That was unbelievable quality. But they've got the two Diegos. I mean, they're no slouches either.
They are absolutely no slouches. And guess what? They're sitting back just with a smoke and a coffee, just saying, all right, look, Alexi's in studio screaming and yelling about super clubs and all that kind of stuff. All the pressure is on Atlanta. But you know what? You want the mantle? You want the super club moniker? You got to live up to it. And that's what's going to happen, especially when you are so good. Portland right now, and Merritt Paulson, the owner over there, I know he's listening. He loves this. He loves the fact that everybody's talking about Atlanta and nobody's talking about Portland. Portland, they have no responsibility to come in and entertain any single one of those 70,000 people. And I know there are going to be some Portland fans out there, but they don't care. They can dumb it down. They can make it ugly. All they care about is winning. And they are very, very good at that. All they need is a couple of opportunities. Diego Valeri, these types of players that they have, you give them that one opportunity, they will make you pay. That's why I think if you're Atlanta, you got to jump all over them and make them realize in the first 20 minutes, it is over. Thank you very much for playing. It is done.
Alexi Lalas, guys, you talk about controlling the pace from a strategic standpoint, and styles make fights, right? This is how do you see it? Because they can play different styles as well, and that's what makes Portland so unique. We saw this against the Red Bulls. They got down. They couldn't do what Portland can do.
No, they can't. They can't defend in that defensive type of shape and block deep. And the Red Bulls were not comfortable doing that, and that's why they lost. And they went completely against it disappointed me. I think they betrayed who they were. Mm-hmm. And they lost that series in that first game. Make no mistake about it. Portland's much more comfortable in that defensive block. And you know when you have those bicycle races in the velodrome, right, where they're just waiting and they're going really slowly, and then all of a sudden it clicks and they go. That might be what we have a little bit in this game, because while I think that Atlanta's going to have a lot of the possession, they want to run. Well, if it's all compact, it's difficult to run. So they might want to play the ball a little bit and try to pull Portland out. But Portland's—they're no dummies. They're going to sit in their block. So it might be a situation where something clicks at one point, and that velodrome gets real hot real quick.
Fox Sports' Alexi Lalas with us here, also of course legendary of the U.S. men's national team, played all over the world, Italy too. Here's the thing, man, about us. Our big crisis of confidence came when we lost to the Red Bulls. We had that supporter's shield, and we could have won it by beating Toronto. We gave an effortless effort. And then Tata, the players got together, had that come-to-Jesus moment. For us, at least Carl and I, we feel that the New York City match, playing in that compressed bandbox, that's one where we showed some clutch, which maybe we hadn't shown in the regular season.
And it was a little pragmatism. Look, I know that we talk about romance and the way they play the game and all that kind of stuff. Everybody just wants to win. Everybody understands. I've never seen anybody complain about the way that they played in terms of how they won. When it comes to the NYCFC game, they were very, very smart in the way that they did it. And once they got that under their belt, yeah, you were disappointed that they didn't get the Supporter Shield. But guess what? The Supporter Shield guys, they're not going to be playing on Saturday night. All right? And I love the Supporter Shield, and you should, you know, kudos to the teams, including this year for the New York Red Bulls. But this is about winning MLS Cup. Everybody understands it from the start of the season. Yes, you do well in the regular season, and it enables you. The better you do, there's a reason why Atlanta is hosting this game. The better you do in the regular season, you're rewarded for it, and they have earned the right to have this game in their stadium, in their city, in front of all their folks. So it's going to be fun to see what type of Atlanta shows up. Ultimately, all the folks out there that support Atlanta, all they care about is the winning one shows up.
Have you been in a situation, and I'm not sure if you have in your career, where a coach is leaving, like Tata, mm-hmm. where we know this is his last match, we've known for some time. Do guys rally around that? I mean, how does that work inside of the inner workings of a locker room for soccer?
It depends what your relationship is. Some you say, all right, you know, don't let the door hit you on the way out. Some of them you say, all right, let's send them out on a high. It looks like that there is a good relationship, but it always looks like a good relationship when a team's good and winning. We all understand that. So I have not been in a situation. I'm trying to think. It's been a long time. I haven't been in a situation where somebody is in this situation where they are leaving. But if I had a good relationship, I would want them to win. But guess what? I'd want to win no matter what. And even if the guy was an ass, I would still want to win the championship, because you're not winning for them.
Right.
You're winning it for yourself and for your team and your city.
And you're a champion forever.
Yeah. And you're staying. You're not abandoning the city and the people that got you and gave you an opportunity.
Exactly.
Now let's get out there and win one for El Tata. Alexi Lalas is live in studio. If you're just tuning in, great conversation. Carl, we have a special broadcast on Saturday. So if you just get in your car now, we'll play the whole thing for you later in the weekend so you don't miss it. So just to reset, tactically, yes, they can play a little more defensive style. Did that force us to press? And you were about set pieces, or is that a push between both these teams?
No, it's not. Actually, Portland is better at set pieces. So, and look, I always talk about set pieces. Set pieces are a huge, huge part of soccer. It's I think it's one of the keys to soccer, and ignore them at your own peril. They have been, obviously, they're important for me, being a tall guy and go up. So I think Portland has an advantage when it comes to set pieces. I think Portland has the advantage if Atlanta gets spread out, and that counter happens with guys like Valeri, with guys like, and you know, even Diego Chara, these types of destroyers. They will just, it's not dumbing the game down, because that's not fair to anybody that does it. There is a strange beauty and romance in being able to do it, but it's not aesthetically pleasing, especially to 70,000 people that are there to see the game goals in Atlanta right now. So I hope that doesn't happen, but it certainly could. And the problem for Atlanta is that this Portland team is much more comfortable doing that than, let's say, a New York Red Bulls.
Coverage on Fox. I know you're all over it. You guys are going to be doing a variety of stuff.
I'm going to shower. I'm going to wear a suit and all that kind of stuff. It's going to be great. 7:30, our coverage kicks off on Fox. Big, big Fox. Homer Simpson Fox. It's going to be fun. Myself, Rob Stewart, Marisa Dew are on the studio. We got John Strong. We got Katie Witham. And we got Stewart Holden up in the booth calling the game. So, and we got cameras all over. We got cameras in the corner flags. So we're bringing everything out. It's going to be a fun Saturday night special.
We want to get you back on when this is all said and done. We love your takes, man.
Big thrill, man.
And listen, we love the fact that you're pushing the envelope when it comes to U.S. men's soccer, because it needs to be.
Thank you guys for everything you do, because I know you've been there since the start, being behind this team and behind this sport, and you should be rewarded for it, because you were able to see around a corner here. And what you guys are doing for Atlanta and for the sport of soccer, regardless of who wins on Saturday, it's wonderful, and it's being recognized and respected all over the country, and as I said, globally right now, too.
All right. Thanks, Big Red. You're the man.
You got it.
Alexi Lawless, guys. Hey, coming up, top three at 6, and Georgia Tech has their eyes on another candidate. We'll tell you who it is next.